We're in Perek Yud Zayin in Tehillim. Tfila le David Shema Shem Tzedek. This is a tfila of David HaMelech. Listen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to my, or Tzedek really means to my righteousness, the ability to have righteousness. Hakshiva Rinasi, listen to my song. Hazina Tfilasi, listen to my tfila. Below Sifsei Mirma, you'll see that I'm doing this without lips of deceit. I am not lying. I'm not doing anything else. So here's the deal. Obviously, there's Rina here, there's tfila here, and there's below Sifsei Mirma. There are quite a few people who use their mouths for other things. And when you use your mouth for other things, and your tefillah will not be heard. For example, if you speak Lashon Hara, then the tefillah gets blown up in Shemayim. That's how the Chafetz Chaim puts it. And therefore, if you have Sifsei Mirma, lips that speak out deceits or falsehoods or false oaths or Lashon Hara, HaKadosh Baruch Hu automatically stops the tefillah right there. So David HaMelech is saying, listen, I did tzedek. You want to hear righteousness? This is what I've done with my mouth. I've only said things that are true. I don't say anything like that. And therefore, you should listen to me over here. Another shot is that Rina refers to his Torah study, meaning the actual learn Torah. Tfilasi refers to his tefillah, the actual tefillah itself, and then the low Sifsei Mirma refers to the fact that he would either not speak up when he could, or he daven Shmona Esrei silently, which is a sign of a tzaddik, as opposed to doing it out loud. Milfanecha mishpati yetzei, let my judgment come forth from before you instead of from anyone else. Einecha techazana misharim, your eyes should behold all of the uprightness that goes with in front of me. So obviously, every person is supposed to get yisurin in this world. What he's asking for is allow my mishpat to come straight from you and not from anybody else. When it comes from somebody else, then I'm worried about what's going to happen. Some say that this tefillin was written after he had done what he had done with Bathsheba. So because he knew that he had done something wrong and was worried about the effect of what it was going to be, and especially when people were talking and saying what he had done wrong and saying that he was over on Eishes Ish, that's when he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you judge me. No one else here. You tell me if I did the right thing or if I did the wrong thing or if I'm to blame, if I'm not to blame. Well, you tell me what's going to be. Yeah.
That's not how the narrative went, though. Wasn't he told by the Navi?
Nathan HaNavi gave him Musar about what he had done because David Melch did not let it go. It sounds like it was afterward. Because David Melch nobody knew about it until after Nathan HaNavi.
But this is more of like a knee-jerk. This isn't like him saying...
Tells you even more so, right? Because David Melch must have thought that it was so right what he had done that when Nathan HaNavi came to him, he was shocked by it. Sitting there and saying, what did I do? And when Nathan HaNavi told him with the mushal, however the mushal works, that's when David Melch looked back and said, you know what, you're right. And that's when the people got involved and said, you were over on Eishes Ish, and David Melch said, no, let God judge that. Because I had righteous intentions, even though it didn't turn out that way at the end of the day, Nathan HaNavi showed me that I was wrong. That's the idea. I don't even know if he thought to do tshuva before that point, if he thought that anything was wrong. His kid died, obviously, that was something that was around there. But it's amazing. We do learn from this tale, by the way, that a king cannot be judged by a human judge. A king must be judged by a Kadosh Baruch Hu and a Kadosh Baruch Hu alone and nobody else. That's a halacha that we bring down in the second paragraph of Sanhedrin. That's that. A Jewish king can only judge. Well, a non-Jewish king wouldn't be judged anyway, right? But a Jewish king. It's about time, yes, I'm young. It's about humble.
Yeah,
you gotta grab something.
We're just doing hell.
That is true. He's a sinner. Okay, check out Pasuk Gimel. Pachanta Levi, you have tested me. Pachanta Delilah, you have visited me at night. And that's the idea behind it. You have probed my heart even in the night. You know that I've been through my Yisbodidus. I thought about what I've done. I think and think and think and think. Saraptani, you refine me, Baltimsa, and you don't see anything wrong. Zamosi Bal Yavorpi, my improper thoughts never went past my lips to my mouth. I never said anything that was supposed to be there. They learn from over here, right? This is from the Balat Tanya, that a Beinoni is that level over here. That Zamosi, if a bad thought even comes up into your head, you're not a tzaddik. You're only a tzaddik when you don't even have a bad thought in your thought process. But a Beinoni is a person who allows bad thoughts to go up to his head, but stops them right there and says, I'm never going to fulfill them, doesn't allow them to come through his lips. But that's it. Yeah.
Has anything to do with Lashon Hara?
I mean, it can. It has anything. This specifically has to do with the Urim Rayim, which can include Lashon Hara. So let's include that. But specifically, it's probably talking about Arias, especially if we're talking about Bathsheba. Right? That would be the specifics, I would assume. What people do, right, by the word of your lips, in other words, I swear by you, and Yishamarti Yorchol Spirit, that I have kept myself from the ways of the lawless people that went out and did everything like that. That's the idea behind it. So he said, before a man is born, everybody gets to be decided. Kadosh Baruch Hu decides what kind of a person they're going to be like. But what he does with that, in other words, what kind of a person he decides to be after that, I am born smart or not so smart, or I'm born 6 feet tall or 5 feet tall, I'm born whatever it is, those things are decided beforehand. But what I do with that information, what I decide to do with that, is all decided afterward by me. So what he says is, I need Shamarti Orchol's parts. You may have put me in a situation, Kadosh Baruch Hu, that allowed me to have a lot of advantages that other people didn't have, but I kept myself from taking advantage of those situations or doing the wrong thing. Pasuk Hey, Tomoch Ashura de Maglosecha. Either I or you allowed my steps to keep upon the paths. I did not move or veer off that path. My steps did not go in the wrong direction. I did what on this. I stayed on the straight and narrow. And I called out to you. When you answer me, God, I want you to turn your ear to me, Shmaim Rossi, and listen to my speech. Show your chesed, your kindness, wondrously. Moshiach Chosen, save the refugees, from those who come up against them, with your right hand. Use chesed to be able to protect them, those who are on your side. You should keep me, this is where the phrase comes from, like the apple of your eye. That's where that phrase comes from. If you're ever wondering, it's from Tehillim over here. Ishon is a red apple, a dark apple. Ishon is also used for ashashis, which means darkness. Right? Bas oyin, of the eye. Betzel knefachat asireni, and shadow me, conceal me, right, in the shade of your wings to take care of me. So some say that it's referred to the eyelid over the pupil. That David Melech was looking at his own eye and saying, it is absolutely unbelievable, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that it is an automatic need jerk reaction of every human being, that whenever anything comes toward their eye, they immediately close it. There's something that automatically closes, whether you realize it or not. You, even if you're looking in another direction, something comes close, you close it as soon as you can. Not always does that help. Obviously, you can still be poked in the eye, but such a knee-jerk reaction. He's already looking at it and he's saying, this is amazing, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You allowed me to have protection beyond protection. The dust gets away from the eyelashes that go in front. Even that, that's Ki'ishon Batai. You have protected me the same way that my eyelid protects my eye. That's the amazing part. Without me even realizing it. Never shayim zush from the wicked that destroy me, oyvai benefesh yakipu alai, from all my deadly enemies upon my soul that encompass me, that go all the way around. That's the idea behind it. Now, kalbamo sagru, this is a pretty cool one, but within their own fat, they are enclosed. Pimo dibru begeos, and their mouths speak out gaiva. Now, what this means is this is good for them. They get so involved with the riches and the fatness of this world, they don't feel like they really need to do anything else. So, if they had time, and if they had, you know, money, and they had a lot of, you know, when they were ready to do something, then it would be absolutely terrible, because these guys would be out to get me at all times, and they'd try to destroy me, right, because that's what they want to do. They want to do that in the first place. But because you made them happy with their lot, and fat, and perfectly fine with just watching baseball, so they'll spend hours doing that instead of doing anything else that is any shaykes to me. You give, I'm saying, most of these people, like a whole day to watch football on a Sunday, no longer do they have anything else to do. The only thing they're missing is football during the rest of the year. If they had that all year long, it would be the greatest thing in the world. We'd never have any problems. Nobody would remember to go anywhere near us, because football will take care of all their problems. It's a crazy, crazy, crazy idea. Either way, but that's the concept of HaKadosh Baruch Hu taking care of me. And their mouths speak out their gaiva. Instead of doing what they want to do, they just speak out, like, oh, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, but they don't want to go any further because they're too lazy to go any further. Ashrenu atos vuvuni. At every footstep that we take, right, they have surrounded us. Eneam yashisu lintos baris. They set their eyes upon the roaming earth, upon everybody around here and everything that's going to be. He's a little afraid, because right after this whole thing with Uriah Hiti and Bathsheba, the Pelishtim came up against Bnei Yisrael. He was worried that the Pelishtim were going to, remember, Uriah was taken and was killed in battle. They thought that maybe the Pelishtim were now going to get up and do even worse things, because they saw the weaknesses of the Jews. They appear like lions. They're eager to tear apart the Chikfir Yoshev Misarim, like a young lion that sits in wait. So, seems like there's two different lions over here. I guess there are two different types of enemies. The ones that are like huge lions ready to
to destroy, and the others that are just in ambush, lying in wait, ready to kill when they can. Pasuk Yud Gimel, Kum Hashem Kan Mifanav, get up, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, confront them, Hachriyehu, knock them down, Palta Nafshi Mirosh HaKarbecha, save my soul from the enemy's sword, by that sword that comes around over here. That's that. Some say there's a reference to the Yitzhahara over here. The Yitzhahara is the sword that's used to kill you, to destroy you. Mimsim Yadcha Hashem, I'd rather die by your hand, Hashem. Mimsim Yechelet Kol Kamachayim, right? Rather than die from people who have their portion in life. I'd rather die by God than by a human being. This is a repeated idea. This is something that we mentioned in Parak Vav as well. Tzfun Chotamah LeVitnam, your treasures should fill up their stomachs. These bubanim, they should be satisfied with children. Menichu Yisrael Mo Lam, and give over of all of their abundance to their young, right? So that they have everything that they could possibly do over here. Ani Betzedek Eches Apanecha, I will behold your face. I will look at your face while I have righteousness. As Baal, I will be satisfied. Baal Kitz Tmunasecha, when I awake, I will realize your lightness and likeness and everything that you have. So what David Melech is saying is, I'm starting to realize the greatness of God. So when I wake up and I see during the day, I'm going to start looking around and seeing you in all the greatness that's out there and all the little things that are out there in the world. That's what I want to be able to see. The wondrous creatures and the wondrous events that might happen in the world, I want to see you throughout all of it. Now, Perek Yirchatz over here. This is an interesting one. This is, again, a Thanksgiving prayer, but this is specific. Lam Natseach, for the conductor. La'Eved Hashem L'David. This is going to be David HaMelech, the Eved of Hashem. Asher Dibel Hashem HaSdibur HaShira, those he sang this Shira, the Yometzil Hashem also, Mikaf Kol Evav Mi'av Sha'ol, when he was saved from all of his enemies and from the hands of Sha'ol. Now this Talmud is basically repeated in Shmuel Beis. It basically is repeated. There are a couple words that are a little bit off, but basically everything is all there. He calls himself an Eved of Hashem now. Once he saw the salvation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he truly believed he was an Eved of Hashem. Until now, he's being chased around and being run over, and Shaul HaMelech was in charge. So he thought, like, okay, Hashem doesn't love me as much as he loves Shaul. He loves Shaul HaMelech, and I'm also a guy, right? But he's giving Shaul HaMelech everything and chasing me around. Now he realized, when he saw that everything was there, now he realizes that he's truly an Eved Hashem. And now it was time for him to sing a Shira. This is one of the 10 Shiras that are written in Tanakh, not including all of Tehillim, but it's one of the 10 Shiras that are written in Tanakh specifically regarding this. So notice also, by the way, that he calls himself an Eved of Hashem, not a Ben of Hashem. An Eved of Hashem, right, is not guaranteed to be saved, but a son can always assume that he's going to have his father's compassion. Vayomar. And he said, Erchom Hashem Chizki, I love you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You are my strength. Hashem Salim Mitzidasi, you are my rock, Sela, and my fortress. Umefalti, as well as my savior. Eli, Tsuriach Zabo, you are my God, my rock that I take refuge in. Magini Vikaranishi Miskabi, my shield, and the horn of my salvation that protects me, my tower that takes care of me. So you can see, obviously, there's a bunch of different things that refer to. Sali, as in my Sela. Mitzudasi, my Mitsuda, right? Mefalti, the guy who's polate me. Tsuri, right, my tsur, magini, my shield, karen yishi, and then misgabi. Seven different phrases that refer to the ways that he was there. But in truth, this pasuk really has 10 words altogether. Okay? 10 words that refer to it. Because even if you take those 7, you really should add on Eli, right, because he's my God. You have Echasebo, right? And Hashem's name itself, that also applies over here. There were 10 enemies of David HaMelech that he had during his lifetime. Shaul HaMelech, Doigo Adomi, Achitofel, Sheva ben Bichri, if you remember, is the guy that chased after him. This is also Nevot, Yoav ben Nevot, the guy who he sent Yoav to go after, and that's what Serach sent him out. That's the whole story. Shimi ben Gera is number 5, who threw the stones at him, was running away from Amshalom. Tsova, the king of Aram, who killed his parents, or whatever. We don't know exactly what Tsova did. Gullius and his 3 brothers. One of them we met before, Yishbi Benov. The other 2, Madon, and I forgot what the 4th one's name is. But all the sons of Orpah. That's that. What's up?
Avshalom.
So Avshalom was still his son. So he never was really worried about Avshalom killing him. So he knew that Avshalom wanted to take over the kingdom, but he never considered him an enemy, and that's why I told you all not to kill him.
What about the guy who killed out the whole city of Khan?
City of Nov Irakwanim? Doigo Adomi. Okay. So that's Doeg. So he is mentioned over here. And that's that. For them, for all 10, David Melech ends Tehillim with 10 phrases of Hallelujah. That's Kuf Mem He through Kuf Nun, right? I don't know if Tehillim of David really counts. But Kuf Mem Vav, Zayin, Ches, Tes, and Nun all start and end with Hallelujah for those 10 enemies that he destroyed altogether. What's that?
Why is it mentioned Shol separately from enemies?
From enemies? Why would it be separate? It is. It's one of the 10. He's one of the 10. Mention him? Yeah. Oh, before. Meaning all the way in the beginning. No, that's just the introduction to the prayer. The prayer starts by Vayomar. This is what he said. So the real song starts from Erchom Chod. That's just an introduction. So that's not part of the actual song itself. See, so it's not going to mention that whatsoever. He's not going to go through that. Okay, that is that. Stones over here. Sela and Suri and going through over here. Obviously, it's possible that it's a reference to the stones that he used to destroy Goliath. That's one of the more famous things that you have stones for, right? That could be there. There also was the Naset, the rock. If you remember when Shaul HaMelech surrounded the rock and David HaMelech thought he was dead, there was no way he was going to be able to get out. That's when Shaul was called to war. And he said, I'm going to come back for you. I'll be back soon. Right? But he never ended up coming back. That was one thing, another thing that happened to the rock. And another thing is, it's really interesting. We mentioned the shield before of David HaMelech. David HaMelech's shield is having that six-prong thing over here. The Medrash mentions it over here as well. Perhaps because Magini is together with six other phrases, and it has the 6 points of the shield, which is once again, one of our references to the shield of David HaMelech being the flag, you know, the star, the Jewish star of David, could be from here as well. Oh, yeah. Interesting little thing over here, but, you know, could be.
What about the rest of the son of David?
But that wasn't a savior. Right, he's saying Miskabi, Magini, etc. Right, he's trying to say this is what I've been saved on. But in Pasuk Dalam Mahulo Akrashan, right, praiseworthy, I call out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, if I Yuvashay, and therefore I am saved from all of my enemies. In Pasuk A, Afafuni Chevle Mavas, ropes of death, these are, you know, bonds of death have surrounded me. Venachle Vlial Yivaasuni, and rivers of evil people have made me afraid. Right? And that's the idea behind it. So he talks about these terrible, terrible things that happened to me over here. Some say this is a reference to Yishmi Benov when he was tied up and thrown underneath a grinding mill that he could take the stone and go on him, but David HaMelech miraculously was let into the ground. So that could be Afafuni Chavle Mavis, that he was surrounded by ropes. Another obvious idea is that Shaul HaMelech surrounded him, right? Completely surrounded him by the rock and was ready to kill him, and that's that. Belial refers to people without any morals. Anybody without morals, right? That's the thing itself. A drunkard is called a Belial because he has no ability to decide morally what's the right thing to do in this situation. Chavle Shaul Slavuni, the ropes of death of the grave, all the traps, the snares of death have been prepared in front of me and they're ready to go. And David HaMelech is really talking about the four types of Goliaths over here. Talk over here. Afuni Chavle Mavis, Nachlavi Al Yivasuni, Chavle Shol Savuni, and Kidmuni Mokshe Mavis are the four Goliaths that are mentioned. Matzar Li Ekro Hashem, in the pain that I had, I called out to God, Elohai Shavah, Ashaveya, I cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yishma Mechalo Koli, he hears my voice from the Teichal, the Shavasi Lefana Shavuot HaAznav, it goes up in front into his ears, goes to the loftiest heights, that's where my tefillos go up to, Vatigash, Vatir Sha'aretz, and the land quakes and moves. Mosar Mir Gazu, even the mountains' foundations move around the Yisgo. When God gets angry, everything can happen. It's an interesting little call. In Tanit of Elio, Elio Navi asks Rabbi Noroi, what is the purpose of earthquakes? Rabbi Noroi answers, because poor people forget to give Meiser and Truma to poor people. And therefore the land quakes, and that's what happens over here. So I don't know how this applies in those ways. It's an interesting little call. There is a Gemara, Talmud Bavli, I'm forgetting where, but it's in Avodah Zarah, I'm pretty sure, with Rabbi Avo, where he meets a certain Amagushi, like a magician guy, like a guy who could tell the future. He said, I'll bet this guy doesn't even know where earthquakes come from. Oh, it's Gemara Brachos, I'm sorry. It's on, like, Nin Beis. So, anyway, so he said, I'll bet this guy doesn't even know where earthquakes come from. And the guy says, you don't think I know where it comes from? It comes from the tears of HaKadosh Baruch Hu when they hit the earth, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sad. And he's like, I told you he was an idiot. But the Gemara says that Rabbi Avo knew that he was right. And he just didn't want to say it in front of his Talmidim because he didn't want them to think that there was mamish to that guy. So what does that mean? I mean, we have no idea what that means, that a Kodesh Baruch Hu's tears somehow cause it to come through. Either way, regardless.
Because he didn't give mamish.
Could be, yeah, but you just don't have that idea. There is a medrash in this medrash over here where he goes on and he says when they go into their pagan theaters and circuses, that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry and he roars and that causes an earthquake. Right, so that would be pagan theaters and circuses. Let's hope that that doesn't apply to Barnum and Bailey and movie theaters. I don't think there's anything more pagan than that, but regardless. Why is it mentioning the same idea? What he's trying to say over here is that when he calls upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu to take care of him, that's when the wrath, right, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes out toward his enemies. Allah Hashem Bapo, this smoke goes up his nostrils, so to speak, Eishmi Pitochel, right, and a fire out of his mouth goes and consumes, sort of like a dragon. Gecholim Ba'arum Imenu, and all the coals flamed forth from him. That clearly is what happened to Sodom, how Sodom was absolutely destroyed. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns down the heavens, right, and comes down to us, ruffle talks to our glove with a thick cloud of darkness underneath his feet. Some say this refers to the Jewish people being saved by Kriyas Yam Suf. Otherwise, it could refer to any time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does some type of destruction. He rides upon a cherub, so to speak, and flies. He soars upon the wings of the wind, flying through as quickly as you possibly could over there. That's the idea behind it, meaning he doesn't wait whatsoever for carriages to come or for the enemies to fill their seis, for everything to be filled, for them to be destroyed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu just comes down and destroys. Yashas Choshek Sisro. He makes his hiding place in that darkness. Vivosef Sukaso. He makes his pavilion, his sukkah, all around. The Cheshchas Mayim of Ishokin. Darkness waters and thickness of the skies. Cloud covers. That doesn't allow them to be there. We do learn from this word over here. Over here it says the word Cheshchas Mayim of Ishokin. The Gemara in Taina says, in Shmuel Beis, he uses Chashras Mayim. So the Gemara says, darshans from this pasuk, that the way that we have water in the sky is from evaporation. That it's chach sharta. If you add in the word together, ches, chof, shin, resh, saf. Chach sharta. You kashered the water of Ishakin by the clouds above. Through the process of evaporation allows for the water to come in. It's actually, machlok is Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yoshua and Tinus, how we have water that's fresh. Rabbi Yoshua holds that the water comes from above the earth, and there are meteors, so to speak, of water that come through, which is somewhat true. There is ice that comes through our atmosphere that allows certain water to form from the clouds, but it's not the main source of water. We know that the main source of water is from evaporation, making into clouds, etc. He says that's the idea. Rabbi Eliezer darshans it from this pasuk. This is where he gets it from, that Ave Shchokin. Okay. Either way, pasuk Yud Gimel, Minoyga Negdai, out of the brightness that is in front of him, of Avru, these clouds pass by Bar Vigach Leish, and there is lightning and huge coals of fire inside here. Okay, that's the pure Onish that is going to happen over here. Obviously, this is going to be pure punishment. Seems Barad, which is the hail that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends down, is obviously icy cold. Gach Leish is pure fire. Can't get much more than that. Those are two extremes. Seems very clear that it's like Barad, right? The actual Barad there. And who knows? Maybe that's what's going to be lost at Lavo. By Yarem Bashamayim Hashem, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu thundered upon the heavens, he gives off his voice with the hail and the coals of fire. He sends out his arrows and he nails them. He sends out lightning and confounds people. There is nothing scarier than a massive thing of lightning and thunder when it feels like it's right above you. There is nothing scarier than that. More than Matzah Torah. Just stand. Walk outside and there's a huge thing of thunder and the tree goes down in front of you. There's nothing scarier than that. It's the scariest thing you've ever seen. That's what it means. Those are, so to speak, the arrows of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he does in order to give people Yiras Shamayim Ba'yiroh Afike Mayim, and they see channels of water, they're exposed by Yigalamostos Tevel, that allows even the foundations of the world to lay bare. Mika Ras Kashem, from your anger, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Nishan Zrachapacha, from your just HaKadosh Baruch Hu's breath, so to speak, that goes through. Yishach Noro Yikacheni, he sent from above and takes care of me, takes me. I'm Shinim Mayim Rabin, he draws me out of the many waters. Obviously, that line again, Shani Mimayim Rabbim, is a reference to Moshe Rabbeinu, that no matter what, you will be saved, that Moshe Rabbeinu was taken out from the waters. The
thus named Moshe Rabbeinu. You have saved me from the greatest of enemies, Misonai, from my ultimate enemies, because you are stronger than all of them. So obviously, there's two things here. There's Oyev and Sone. Okay, there's a big machlokas, which one is worse? Oyev seems to be the stronger of the two, but it depends on how you look at it. The Malbim seems to say the opposite of that. Rav Hirsch says that Oyev is greater than Sone. I believe that's what he says over there. What are these referring to? So either it refers to when they came into Eretz Yisrael, there were seven nations and 31 kings. So seven nations is the Oyev, 31 kings is the Sone. If it's David HaMelech, then Doeg is the Oyev, and Achitophel is the Sone. It could be referring to the hatred of Shaul, as well as all of his other enemies there. It could be a reference to Avshalom over here. All right, but either way, regardless, it's got to be something like this, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have taken care of it by being stronger than all of them. You have taken care, or they came up to me on the day of my calamity when I was feeling sick, by Yashon L'Mishon Li, and you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, were my Mishon, you were my support taking care of me on that day. No matter how many times they tried to conspire against me, no matter what, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved me. One great example of this is when Avshalom tried to take over the entire kingdom, right? And Avshalom wanted to chase after David HaMelech on that day, and Achitophel went up to Avshalom and said, if you go right now, you will destroy David HaMelech. If you go right now, you'll be able to take him while he's still on the run, you'll be able to overtake him. And on that day, who was it that was left in the kingdom? I forgot what his name is. Good guy. The friend of David HaMelech went up to Avshalom and said, don't chase after him today. He'll be expecting the attack now. Wait until later. When Achitophel saw that his advice wasn't taken, he went and committed suicide because he knew that Avshalom was not going to wait after that date. But I forget who it was. I can't remember. All right, anyway. But when he did, that would be an example of HaKadosh Baruch Hu took care of me on that day. Yotzeinu L'merchov. He brought me out into a wide open place, Yechaltzeni. He delivered me, Kiyachavitzbi, because he loved me. That's the idea of what happened over here. Some say there's a reference to Mashiach, and Kiyachavitzbi is the gematria of Kate, the end of days. That's one idea. Yigwel Hashem Kitzidki, reward me according to my righteousness, Kavor Yadai, according to cleanliness of my hands, Yashimli, give me back what I'm supposed to get over here. Kiyashamarti Dach Hashem, because I kept the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lohai, and I did not do evil when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Some say Shamarti Dach Hashem is the Aseis, and lo rashati milohai means I didn't do any lo sases. Right, that's what it refers to over here. Some say it refers to actual averos and the Yitzhar. I didn't give it to the Yitzhar. Ki chomish b'rav l'nid. All of his judgments were in front of me. Chukos of lost or many. I never turned away any of his chukim. Even the chukim that I did not understand, I still did every single one of them. Pasuk chav dalet. But yisami milohai was always perfect with a kodesh baruch hu hashkamra me'avoni, and I kept myself from doing anything that was wrong. I had no doubts about anything that a kodesh baruch hu told me. Yeshem Hashem li kitzki. Hashem returned to me according my righteousness, Kavoy Yadalan Aganeinov. According to the cleanliness of my hands, in front of his eyes, he took care of. Im chosid tis chasod. And together with the chosid, you will act with chasidus. Im gartamin titamom. With a perfect person, you will act in such a manner. That's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu pays each person back according to their righteousness, according to exactly what they did. The tzaddik for his righteousness, the wicked man according to what he's done badly. David Melech was saying, since I have always been a chosid, therefore I'm judged according to what a chosid would do, even when I did something with Uriah and Bathsheba. Even at that point, when I did something which was questionable, had somebody else done it, maybe it would be bad. But I've been a chassid my entire life. So you donned me, lifnim mishuris adin, because you knew that I'd been this way my entire life, and that's what he expected from a Kaddish Baruch. What were you going to say?
Hashem rewards us in Shemai.
Down here.
I mean, because if a wicked person, sometimes he gets whatever he needs.
The next passage, in Nabor Tisbarar, with the pure, you act that way, you act in purity. In Ishkesh Tisbatol, with the people that are crooked, you act in a crooked manner. You're right. A crooked manner does not mean he's going to be evil to them. He's going to trick them into doing more and more and more evil, so that they get lost completely. They think they're succeeding, and then they fall into the snare, the trap that they set for themselves. So at the end of the day, they lose out from it, even though it seems that they're succeeding time after time after time.
And the good people are getting bad success.
But that's not it. The good people are being treated with chesed, to either give them the punishments that they need in this world in order to get more,
or for whatever thing that goes through, they see good or bad.
Well, that's the answer.
Yeah, that answers it, right? I mean, that's the idea. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is acting with every person according to how they acted. The reaction from HaKadosh Baruch Hu is exactly that. You want to be a chassid, you'll be treated with chassidus. You have to know that, right? A chassid is judged on a very, very high level. So if you do one tiny, tiny little thing wrong, you're going to have to be punished for that. And you certainly want it in this world rather than the other. And with a crooked person, that's the way it is. We have to treat them that way, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to go around. So when the Mitzrayim did what they did to the Jews by tricking them into working, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to trick them to get to Kriyas Yamsuf by taking their money, by borrowing their money, so to speak, and making them think that the Jews were coming back afterward. It had to be done in such a way, because imikesh tispatol. That's the way it has to be. Yaakov Avinu learned from this as well. If everybody remembers when Rachel Imenu first met Yaakov Avinu was told by Rachel Imenu, I'm worried, right, that you're going to be tricked by my father. And Yaakov Avinu said, in ikesh tispatol, you have to act in a tricky fashion. So everybody says, well, wait a second, he was tricked, and he was given Leah instead of Rachel. And Yaakov Avinu said, I wanted both. I got both. I came out with both of your daughters, big guy. I came out with both of them. You think I was tricked? I came out with two of the greatest tzaddikos of all time that I married. Right? That's an unbelievable feat. I got Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulun from the wife that I wasn't supposed to get. That's pretty good. All my Kohanim, Levim, and kings come from there. That's not bad. That's really not a bad call. But that's how you gotta go. You gotta go through trickery. So that's that. Kiata Amtan Ani Soshia, you have saved a poor nation. Einayim Ramos Tashpil, you have lowered the haughty eyes. And Pasuk Chof Tes, Kiata Tayer Neri, you have lit up my candle, Hashem Lakai. Yagia Choshki, you have brightened up my darkness and taken care of all the little things over here. David's shield had engraved on it a menorah. And that's what it means. Yagia Choshki, in the darkness where I had my shield in war, Yagia, I had it lit up, and you are my candle. That's what he put on there. Why did he put the menorah on? I don't know. I have absolutely no idea. I don't know why I would refer to that. Maybe because the anointing oil, the Shemen Amishko, was given to him so that he became king. He certainly wasn't a Kohen, not even related to Kohanim in any which way. So I wouldn't think that would be the idea behind it. It's definitely true that the menorah stands for intellect, seichel, and he had seichel, but I mean, lots of people had seichel. So why the menorah specifically referred to him is a little bit strange. Of course, you could use the colloquial, he lightened up the darkness. I guess you could say that because that's the way David Melech works, but it is strange. But there is one answer the Mian always gives that made a little bit of sense to me. It just doesn't have any real shaykhus. He used to light his lamp to learn Torah at night, late at night, when he would get up at midnight to be able to learn up until dawn. So perhaps it's a reference to the heart woke him up, right? And he used a candle in order to whatever. So maybe that's what he's saying. The koach of my warfare comes from the Torah that I learned the night before. So therefore he's showing the menorah, which stands for koach Masatira, right on the front, showing that this is what I protect myself with. Maybe. And what the star? Yeah, maybe a menorah inside the little star. You know, the six pronged star. I don't know, but maybe that's the pshat behind it. We'll end with this pasuk over here. Pasuk lamed kibacha arutz gedud. For with you, I can crush all the troops at Elohai Adalek Shur. With my God, I can jump upon the walls. If you remember that Shur, Ale Shur is the line that's used by Yosef Atzadik. But that's that. There are some really crazy things about David Melech and jumping on walls. The Midrashim say he was powerful enough to jump into cities, even though they were fortified cities, by just jumping into the city itself. I don't know, the greatest, you know, vertical that a human has had, I think, is 48 inches. That's big. 48 inches is very impressive. You know, 4 or 5 feet, you know, into the air, straight up, without running, or anything like that, right? I think the longest jump has been about 16 to 17 feet. To go up a fortress's wall is darn impressive. Darn impressive. I gotta tell you, that would be awesome. But I put nothing behind a Kodesh Baruch Hu and David Melech. So I'll end with this for right now. How many Pesukim are here? We have so, yeah, it's too many. Alright, we're up to Parak Yud Ches Pasuk Lamed Aleph.